This year marks the first Pride celebration for many folks since the COVID shutdown. As we prepare to brave the crowds and celebrate gender and sexual diversity and lots of rainbows, we've noted that the flags, the words, and even the people who show up for Pride have changed.
Today, the reliably hilarious Matt Brown, who has the spirit of Betty Davis trapped in the body of a young black comedian, joins us to look back on the changing faces of Pride and the intergenerational challenges LGBTQ folks, LGBTQ plus folks face.
See how hard it is to say? Plus, former Feast of Fun regular guest Zach Stafford wins a Tony Award for producing a strange loop with RuPaul and Billy Porter.
Why are people blaming the woman who was killed by an elephant that returned to her funeral to trample her yet again?
And Lizzo gets in hot water for using a pejorative term that last appeared in the film Back to the Future. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And hello, hello, McFly. It's Feast of Fun. Hola, Matt Brown. ¿Cómo estás?
You remember you were telling me about how if you are in a situation where you're one of two Hispanic people around people who don't speak Spanish, if you're speaking Spanish, you're speaking about someone.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, my version of that when I was growing up, like as a classical singer, like if the conductor was Italian and the music was Italian, if you and your friend knew German from a couple weeks before or months before or whatever, you would just talk shit that way. So it'd be a foreign language within a foreign language within just a stupid situation. Like we're just trying to create like gossip. Perception. That's I think the goal.
Well, that's yeah. What you always have to speak in code some ways.
Yeah. Know? I mean, yeah. Pig Latin just changed all of our lives. How would I have
emphasis
finished
on the
grade?
Pig?
Well, like Polari, that gay language was developed to thwart like cops and the authorities from knowing what people were talking about.
Oh yeah. Like, I don't think they ever would have caught on what a flower fairy meant.
Or
I don't think they ever got
trade.
It. Tootsie Trade.
Cottaging.
Wait, is Tootsie Trade when you pick up a black guy because Tootsie Roll? Is that
Tootsie
a short black guy?
Tootsie Trade is two bottoms getting together.
Oh,
Tootsie's
okay.
Is a bottom because that's your bottom, right?
Oh, okay.
And that's why the Tootsie Roll looks like a piece of shit.
There you go. Let me see your Tootsie Roll.
Wait a minute. Do Tootsie Rolls predate the modern gay rights movement? I guess they do, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
No, that candy's old.
That candy's like 100 years old.
The word Tootsie is very, very old.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so that makes the Dustin Hoffman movie even funnier.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
He's a bottom in it.
It's all a layer and a layer. Yeah.
Go, Tootsie, go.
You know, English people are more familiar with a lot of that stuff, but some of those words have come through, like chicken, I think dyke.
Drag.
You know.
Twink. Pansy.
This is why we should have had master
cottaging
class.
Tea room. The tea?
We should have had that master class service like a century ago, so Oscar Wilde could teach everyone Polari. It's like him and Walt Whitman teaching you gay slang and shit. Because you know, Oscar Wilde and Walt Whitman met only once for a few hours in Walt's home, and everyone acts like they don't know what happened. Maybe they talked about theater, art. I think they were fucking. I think it's
for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was so illegal to do anything gay back in the time period of Oscar Wilde, which is Victorian England, right?
Or late Victorian era.
Late Victorian era, that they couldn't even write their own pornography. And so what they developed was a game that kids do today called Exquisite Corpse, which has a very dark sounding name, but it was basically writing one line of a story or a poem and then handing it over to somebody else, and you hide the rest of the poem and you can only write the next line based on what you saw. And so Oscar Wilde and a circle of friends started writing erotic fiction that way, so no one was responsible for authoring it, so no one would go to jail.
Oh, wow. So you would be like, so I would be sitting here with a notepad and be like, he flipped me over and then he said, I'm gonna, and then I just give you the tablet. And then you just write, come and smile.
I came in his mouth. And you know, that actually might not be a bad parlor room game, you know, in this modern day and age with Pride and you know, the modern, God, can we even call it the LGBTQ plus
I don't think it's inclusive enough. I think we just have to admit that if you identify as an alphanumeric symbol from any language or alphabet, we're all friends now.
You can't even have the rainbow as a symbol anymore.
No, it's not inclusive enough. What about the Greek zeta? Like, yeah, we have to think about all of our letters and numbers out here. I mean, someone is the number 7, goddammit, and I feel their pain.
Well, you know, at least
it's hard being prime.
At least our good friend Daniel Quasar, who designed the Progress Pride flag, and mm-hmm. can listen to an interview with him on Feast of Fun's archives, feastoffun.com/plus, because your financial support makes this podcast possible. And he designed it just as a commentary that the six-striped rainbow flag was just like not addressing aesthetically the need to speak to trans and people of color and, mm-hmm. and invite them into the
symbol. And some people just hated that. Yeah. They're like, how dare you change this? You always will have that rainbow flag.
Of course.
You know, but now you have a different one because there's many different flags. And now people have taken Daniel's flag and actually added more elements for the asexual and mm-hmm. yellow and all that kind of stuff.
It's just starting to look like, you know, like those shoes mm-hmm. that are plastic and they put a bunch of pins on them.
Oh, okay.
Crocs.
Yes. So everyone is a licensed practical nurse in the state of Wyoming.
We're getting back to, you know, the Girl Scouts probably were more like this, mm-hmm. Which, you know, now the Camp Wanakiki girls do this, but they have a sash with a million little
rainbow your merit stickers. Badges.
Yeah. Merit badges. And that's what like the rainbow flag is now, is just a bunch of different merit badges.
Well, you know, when they started to add all the different, like different communities, and they started to make the flag, mm-hmm. like, cause there's like a whole left side that's all about the black people, and then we've got like the gay wing, we've got the trans wing. Like going through the gay flags, like going on a tour of a home you can't afford. It's very detailed. And so what I did when they started to make the flag different from what I recognized, I just decided I could buy a new t-shirt and have an inappropriate emotional relationship with that. That's what I decided.
What kind of t-shirt did you buy?
A floral print. Again, something else that may change and grow different in style, and I'll have something else to bitch about. It's all just fabric. It's all just an idea. Take it, enjoy it, move on with your fucking life.
If it rocks your boat, you do it. You like it, you wear it.
And if it doesn't rock your boat, you're Natalie Wood.
Oh my God. Google it if you don't get that joke, because it's vicious.
If you're under the age of 63 and you don't get that joke. If you don't know who Robert Wagner is outside of Austin Powers.
So to explain the joke for people who don't have access to a computer right now or driving. So Natalie Wood is a star of West Side Story. And indeed. She was a big star at the time, married to Robert Wagner.
Yes. Bad bitch of the 60s and 70s. Bad.
And Robert Wagner was rumored to be bisexual and in a love affair with Christopher Walken. Yes, that mm-hmm. Chris, the dead zone, the I talk like, can you do a Christopher Walken impersonation?
Just imagine Angelina Jolie Walken with no lips.
Robert, I would like to suck your penis tonight. Why don't we go lock ourselves into the cabin of the boat while Natalie's outside, you know, looking at the stars. And so they rumored, allegedly, were having sex, and Natalie, I guess, hit her head or fell off over a boat, and they were mm-hmm. too busy, just like in Dynasty, mm-hmm. where Ben Carrington was too busy having sex with Joan Collins.
She wasn't, not Joan Collins.
Was no, the Linda Evans? Senator's wife, the senator's wife. And so he wasn't able to save his mother. And so the same
sometimes
thing happened.
The pussy be real
Natalie
good.
Wood died because Robert Wagner was a hoe.
That is a potential possibility.
That's a rumor.
That is a potential possibility. However, I personally think that if Robert Wagner was gay, he would have done a better job with Natalie's makeup. I personally, you can always tell when people have gay husbands or a gay friend around based on their hair and makeup situation.
What was wrong with her hair and makeup?
Natalie kept the, okay, so you guys don't remember this because you're entirely too young, but if you look back at pictures, during the 1970s, everyone had a bunch of eyelashes on the bottom for no reason. Mm-hmm. And you would see any picture of Natalie Wood, she would literally be like holding her 6-year-old daughter's hand. She'd be at the beach, just covered in eyelashes at the bottom, like just a strip of eyelashes on the bottom. And I feel like if she had a good gay husband, he would have said, baby, we're either going to put these on
she
top or take them off.
She had a bunch of gay friends. I mean, she dated Tab Hunter. She helped with
Debbie Reynolds dated Tab Hunter. Everyone dated Tab Hunter. My grandmother fucked Tab Hunter. Okay.
Everyone. If it wasn't for Natalie Wood, the boys in the band would not have been even was not made into a play, but also into a motion picture film. And she basically kept paid for the guy who wrote it to make that play. Because at that time it was like, gay people were all over in theater and film, but they were invisible.
Because
Natalie Wood like contributed to gay culture like in ways that we just don't even understand. Well,
because she was doing a lot of very controversial, you know, feminist movies that sort of followed this up. She did a movie in 1964, 65 called Sex and the Single Girl, which is just about the idea that a single woman who supported herself could go on a date and sleep with a guy if she wanted to. Like, it's just free, like a man is. It's just okay. It's
the sexual revolution.
She did another movie called Ted and Bob and Mary and Alice about these married couples who decide they're going to go to Vegas as friends and all fuck each other. Just a big swingers. Orgy. Yeah. Just swingers, just having a great old time.
That was a movie that really rocked the world when it
came out. Bob and Carol, Ted and Alice.
Yeah, and nowadays the idea of sucking your husband, your like friend's husband's dick, it's like, well, I mean, does his partner know? Yeah, oh, who cares? Everybody's poly, everyone's open, everyone's horny, nobody cares.
Everybody's non-binary. Everybody's
except for me. Gay.
Except for you.
Yeah.
Yes,
whatever, whatever is, yeah, whatever Matt you think is, it, Matt is something else.
Yeah, no, we love a, you listen, you guys like a reveal. And so I know how to supply a twist. It is what it is.
Well, that is, you know, we watch a lot of Hallmark Channel movies and stuff.
I don't, you do.
Where the parents, like, the plot now for a lot of those when they have queer characters is the parent doesn't accept their child. And at the end, the parent's like, I love you, my lesbian daughter. And the daughter responds like, fuck you, mom. I'm non-binary. Don't misgender me.
That's hilarious. Oh, my God. You don't talk to someone for 15 years just to argue with them one last time. No. That's great.
Yeah. And so, you know, in this thing, you know, I want to sort of dedicate this show because Matt is a vampire like us.
Yes.
And exists out of time and space. And you know has it. A lot to say about intergenerational relationships. And yesterday,
I've been in a few.
I was watching James Bond, the last James Bond movie.
I thought you were going to say James Baldwin. I really did. I totally thought this was going to go in a different direction.
Well, it's the controversial one because in the movie, what is it? No Time to Die, where the theme song is done by Billie Eilish. James Bond, the character played by Daniel Craig. Can I spoil it? Can I?
No.
Spoil the ending.
Spoil it.
Well, let me. So I'm not going to give away the ending, but let's just say.
How nice of you not to give away an ending that well, the movie most people haven't seen.
We're warned people, right? Okay. So we're going to talk about this, right? So the movie is sort of making the transition to a black woman playing the role of 007.
It is Daniel Craig's last role as 007.
But they're also retiring. Possibly the character of James Bond as a white man as playing the role of 007. So they're,
it's like Doctor Who.
Yes.
It's going to be many different people playing over different times.
Right. So that was the controversy. Yeah. Right. And I wanted to watch the movie and get into it and find out what it's about. Then the door opens and a drag queen I haven't seen in probably a decade.
Oh, you've seen her. It's just
Miss Fousey, Chicago legend. Icon comes in full drag into the living room. And I'm just like, I thought Mark had found a Miss Fousey wig and put it on, or I'd like my brain was just not registering.
Foster's on the couch watching TV, and I see I'm out walking Jesse, like, but I just come right out of the apartment and I see the silhouette. Miss Fousey has a silhouette,
yeah.
You know, she's a big girl, and her head is kind of like pineapple shaped, right? And
so that's her catchphrase, that's too.
Love you, pineapples. And so I was just like, hi, Miss Fousey. She didn't recognize me at first, it was dark, she'd been drinking, and I'm like, you have to come up and see. She's like, it's late. I'm like, it's just up on the second floor, you have to say hi to Foster. It would just make his day. And it was like, then I was just kind of like, come on. I'm going to film it because I'm going to surprise it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, you just walk in and I'm just like, wait a second. What if he's masturbating or something? So I'm like, I open the door and I peek in and then I just start filming and he's just like looking. And then she's just like, hi, pineapple. I love you. And then Foster's just like, what's going on? Like, you can see the confusion on his face. He's like, what's happening? And so, you know, she comes in, we take some photos, we talk and whatnot. And, you know, we walk her home because she doesn't live too far from here. And then we ran into another drag.
So we're standing in front of our house, just sort of reminiscing on you know, how times have changed. how things have gone better, how things have gone worse, and the challenges we face.
The proliferation of electricity.
Right. Remember when you used to use
this
gas.
This computer thing.
Weird. Weird.
Weird. So we're standing there, and this drunk Barbie doll comes walking down the street. She looks like Paris Hilton, and Barbie had the, you know, it was beautiful. And that's Alex Kay, who you guys also have heard on the podcast, mm-hmm. walking down the street, kind of woo, woo, woo. And she's like, goes up to Miss Fu, and we're like, Alex, Alex. And she's like, you know, she doesn't go by Alex anymore, though. She's Miss Kay.
Mm-hmm.
And so she crosses the street, and she goes up to Miss Fu and is like, you don't know me, but I know you.
Those are always the worst and scariest conversations.
She's, and it was beautiful. It was like, you know, it was a moment that we had facilitated where you had a drag queen of the past and a drag queen of the present.
Although Miss Fuzzy does not identify as a drag queen, she does occupy that same space.
A character actor.
Yes.
Like Mickey Mouse or Disney.
That's how I feel. I can definitely vibe with that.
And I was just like, this is such an interesting idea, you know, sort of like talking about how we've changed and how sort of like older generations are sort of like having to scratch their heads going, what do you mean by non-binary? And why do we have to add stripes to this flag? And what do you mean we can't have police officers that, well, I don't think everybody now agrees after Uvalde, no cops with Pride Parade.
There's still a lot of people that are like, Pride should welcome everyone.
Yeah, but honey, if you're getting shot at a Pride Parade, that police will not be protecting you. Just saying.
Not at all.
They're going to wait 1 hour and they're going to tase anybody who's going to try to like save your ass. At least in Uvalde, Texas. And so, you know, there's a lot of changes and a lot of challenges that we faced. And I thought it would, you know, because Matt, you have so many ideas and so much in your head about like how we succeed and how we struggle to sort of make the world more inclusive. And Lauren Boebert, this right-wing Christian fundamentalist, right.
Just Trumper, to start with the inclusivity right off the top.
She's like, she's stated something that I thought was interesting. She said, take your children to church and not drag bars. And other people were responding, like Matt XIV said, I would feel safer leaving my child with a drag queen than any member of the clergy.
Mm.
And I was just thinking, I was like, can we just not have children on airplanes, churches, or bars?
What if you have a kid and you just stay home for 18 years and live with your shitty mistake? What if that?
Oh, come on.
What if
love
that?
Love children.
I love children, but notice how none of them come out of me. Have you paid attention to that detail? I'll hug them and then I give them back like fish. It's different.
But it is interesting, like, you know, like there's been right wing protesters going storming libraries because they have a drag queen and reading hour
and screaming like slurs at these people. It's just it's so disgusting.
I do.
And then in Idaho, you had like those guys, all those guys in the back of a U-Haul who were going to attack like a did you see that? On
no.
The, oh, yeah. In Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. They had
what'd
a
you
bunch,
just call me?
A bunch of guys in the back of a U-Haul, all in like military garb and whatnot, and they were going to go cause trouble at a Pride event. But somehow they got tipped off because, you know, the FBI is watching that shit now. And so they pulled over the U-Haul and pulled all these guys out, and they're all like wearing the same thing, and they're all like kneeling on the ground. It's super creepy.
Well, normally you
and
see.
And then they see all their mug shots, and it's like they're all these guys who are like in their 20s and 30s, like 25 of them, and they all just kind of, I don't know, they're.
I haven't heard anything like that in a very long time.
I love what Parker Malloy did. She took all of their faces and put them in their face app. So you had like one example of like you put them all together because they're all kind of funny looking.
Yeah.
They all kind of look like each other.
Yeah. They all kind of look like each other. Mm. So she put them all together and she made like the one chud to rule them all.
That's amazing.
And part of me is like, do we want kids hang out in places where adults drink alcohol and suck each other's
dicks? That's not fair. Going to the those drag queen story hours are not necessarily happening in bars. Or
I'm like, talking about people. People are wanting to bring children into gay bars that serve alcohol.
Yes,
and have drag shows.
Yes.
And I'm like, you know, I was on the fence with bachelorette parties, but I feel like this is a step too far.
And inclusivity. Well, if you're at brunch and stuff and they're serving food and people are drinking, that's one thing.
At night, but at 11 o'clock.
Who's bringing a child into a bar at 11 o'clock?
People are saying it. People are saying it.
Okay, I've seen a video on Instagram. I have no idea what time of day it was because the video was taken from inside the club. But like someone, it was like a man and a woman. They were fully like there with like a baby. Like I'm talking like a less than a year old that you have to hold.
Yeah.
Just like watching a drag queen twerk and shit. And like, I don't know. Cool. If that's family entertainment for you, enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
But my thing is, the only point of reservation that I understand with that from straight people is like, if they have seen drag before, not on TV, but like in real life, they understand that like a lot of the jokes are sexual and like a lot of the baselines of it is on the fact that it's a man who likes men dressing up as a woman who likes men.
Typically.
And that can be a large part of the, and so I can understand like not wanting, in your mind, you thinking, I don't want my third grader to just go hear a bunch of sex jokes. Like I wouldn't show him that comedy special and I wouldn't show him the movie. So I don't, but I think if you have a very like Midwestern sort of idea, like I could see where you'd go there. And then I get your concern if you just don't know enough.
And if there's a difference between like a 11 o'clock show and what's going to happen at brunch. You know, a lot of those brunch ones are going to be family friendly. They might even have a room to take the kids to listen to a story, that kind of thing. Those drag queens like telling stories, you know, they're basically just costume characters.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, what I will say, though, as a comedian who has done brunch shows as a part of their career, I did a lot of brunch shows the summer before COVID, and it always seemed like with the way that club is sort of set up, that the 1 p.m. shows, we were like foisting ourselves on the audience. Like they kind of just wanted to go there and eat pizza, but we got a show. And at me and a lot of the other comics, when we saw kids there in the middle of the day, like we sort of took it upon ourselves to go even dirtier and be filthier. Cause it's just like, ah, fuck them. They shouldn't have brought their kid here. So like as a performer, I can get where it can go left. Like, just a lot can happen. And if you don't want your kid to be there, I get it. Okay, I'm not saying I agree with your reasons why, but whatever they are, I might find one or two that makes sense to me. I don't know.
And also, we should bring up the fact that Lauren Brobert, or whatever her name is, her husband exposed his genitalia to underage kids at a bowling alley. So it's like, she has no moral authority on anything.
Strike out.
And part of me is like, you know, this is sort of an argument she's just making to, you know, just like, what is it? The thing that they were all agitated by, critical race theory,
which is like critical race theory is anything that your grandparents see on Fox News that makes them want to rip out their pacemaker. That's it. That's how you know. Your grandparents aren't old till they're living on heartbeats that they resent. Like,
but this is like, you know, the mindset of somebody who's like really regressive is like hate and fear oriented. And so, you know, these Fox News channels, in order to sort of like keep that audience, they always having to find some kind of boogeyman, you know, or boogie non-binary person. In this case.
Because a lot of them know that they can't be outwardly homophobic anymore. So they just, you know, moved a little bit to the left, you know?
So that in a sense, we made progress that it's no longer okay to be openly homophobic at very least.
In some ways, yes, but they've moved that to the trans issues now.
So
they still know that some people are like, you're born a man or you're born a woman and that's all you're ever going to be. And there's no, and you know, whatever. And so they know that for some people that's a real trigger. And so that's why they're still harping on that.
But well, they're always going to be looking for something new to scapeout.
Recycled.
Recycle
so now it's like they're calling, you know, before they would just straight out call gay people pedophiles. Now they're groomers.
But do you feel
which is another word for hairdresser?
Which a lot of us are.
But do you feel like at least it's, you know, they're, it's like even a racist person feels attacked when you say they're racist.
Yes.
In the past, they used to not feel attacked.
I don't know. It just depends where you're at geographically, because like I think there's some like quote unquote well-meaning, quote unquote liberal white people who have like been cushioned from their own racism because they'd be like, well, I voted a certain way. So what if I do for Obama? Yeah. So what if I do this, that, or that?
Yeah.
So, but, and then there are some areas where like where I grew up geographically, where like if you're black and you cut somebody off on traffic, they're going to follow you home and you just better pray to God. So like, it depends where you're at. There's no like blanket answer.
So do you feel like that? I mean, you know, I'd like to think that in some ways, like we're sort of winning that war because we're sort of forcing them to retreat into new territory that they're not familiar with.
Well, the other thing is there's always going to be gay people who are cisgender who are going to be happy to throw the trans people under the bus. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be around for the conservatives to latch on to. Mm-hmm. And so long as that exists, there's just always going to be someone to say that there's someone in this community right next to you who doesn't think that way. So I don't know why I have to.
I do like the fact that non-binaries become like flavor of the decade in some ways, because it's like, you know, in the past, people were sort of very at odds, especially in my generation coming of age. Mm-hmm. When somebody who said they were trans or queer or LGBT, the next step was like, well, I see you talk. If you're going to talk the talk, you better walk the walk. Mm-hmm. And by that, walk the walk means to transition medically, physically. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that created a very limited space for a lot of people to discover and understand their gender and their identity. And so this idea of non-binary is a more, comfortable space in order to move around.
I still want to know where all the tomboys and Butch Dykes went.
They're still there.
And not in the same numbers. But
they don't use the term anymore.
Yeah. And then now everything's different. Now I got to readjust. And then I have to say goodbye to like my past. I got to just wave goodbye. Just saying goodbye to the hearse. But like, I feel like the personality types still exist and the interests still exist, but the need to call it something else, that's the thing where I feel like a lot of people don't understand, because there's a lot of lesbians in their 50s and 60s with short hair and cargo shorts who do not want to be men, have never wanted to be men, and don't understand why anyone would not just want to be a different kind of woman. So like, it's just, there's as much room for individuality as there's room for individuals.
And nobody wants to be stuck into a little box, you know?
No, boxes are only comfortable for homeless people. Like, no one else wants to stay in one.
Well, you know, as Mr. Rogers, the visionary, said, there are many ways to say I love you. And there's many ways to sort of express your identity. And what words may fit today may not necessarily fit tomorrow. And
no, that's okay. You both had careers in academia. Y'all know the words change on everybody about every 15 years. So don't get attached to
Lizzo's
shit.
Lizzo's feeling that right now. She's got a line in one of her songs that says spaz. And so people are coming and saying it's ableist.
The S word.
And people are just like, how is that ableist? Because, you know, people have a condition. It's spastic, right? And so, but, you know, we grew up saying spaz all the time for somebody who, you know, we felt like they were out of control. They were unreasonable, that kind of thing. But now people don't. And it's been out for a while. I'm sorry that Lizzo didn't get the memo.
That's not a word that I've heard in use for a minute.
Yeah.
But it's also like, now that I know I'm not supposed to and I haven't used it in seven years. Yeah, it's like, what are you going to know? Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't word police anybody. You can use whatever words you want. But are you prepared for the reaction you're going to get from people when you use those words?
Well, if they don't have a spastic wrist, I should be fine.
You might get slapped.
There you go. Will Smith might be in the room. That's
happening.
You know?
I don't know. I think that people should use the words that make the most sense to them. And like, you don't go around your like life trying to be malicious. But if you fully don't know something, like I literally never heard that word was a problem till I saw it on Facebook today. Mm-hmm. If you legit don't know and someone assumes that your ignorance is malice, who's the bigger asshole? Because as someone who's assuming you're a bad person, they're assuming you know as much as they do. Mm-hmm. Why can't you just be free to be stupid in your own little corner of the garden? Like, I don't know.
Well, with social media, you know,
it's apologized, by the way.
A lot of people sort of like taking on an identity, but they're not participating in any kind of physical space.
Tell me about it.
So you're kind of a person who usually eschews gay bars, pride parades.
No, none of that.
Celebrations. You don't do any of those things.
No.
But you're more than happy to get a paycheck for a gay queer showcase at a comedy club.
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So there is some wiggle room there.
Well, I don't know. To me, it's not wiggle room because one space is ran by gay people and one's ran by straight people, so to me it's completely different. Straight people sign my checks, always have, so to me there's no such thing as doing a gay event for a straight person because they're straight and they're trying to make money in June. So don't tell me about your fucking feelings, just tell me how much time I'm doing.
So you're okay with, like, you know, corporations sort of creating these products and putting rainbows on them and stuff. And
I'm as okay.
Rainbow capitalism.
I am as upset with that as I am every other facet of capitalism that I can't do jack fucking shit about. Like, do I think it's good? No. Am I prepared to do anything about it? Also, no. So I don't know. Let's just all, like, I don't know, go to work.
You didn't enjoy your Lady Gaga Chromatica Oreo cookies?
What the fuck are you talking? Was that a sentence?
You don't remember Lady Gaga's Chromatica Oreos?
So they were bright, radioactive pink. We filmed ourselves eating them. They were disgusting, I gotta
say. Didn't they change people's colors of their poop?
It changed their poop color. Yeah. It was green.
And the bottoms of Italia.
Green. It was, I think it was, you know, deadly. Like, you know, bad romance, bad cookie, toxic.
Yeah, she doesn't, kill you.
That's Britney Spears singing Toxic, but it felt like appropriate for Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga.
Listen, you can eat 99 cookies, but if one of them believes in you.
Thank you. And that is why Matt is our best, dearest and best friend.
And that's why you should all go home and watch the Judy Garland, A Star Is Born from 1954 with George Mason. That's what you'll need. James
that's
Mason.
That's the good one.
Well, there's like five. So it depends on.
There's the first one.
1930s with Janet Gaynor. Then 1950s with Judy Garland. 1970s with Barbara Streisand. And then we have Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm. And they all, spoiler alert, they all die at the end.
Imagine being a dumpy girl who falls in love with a hot rich guy. He treats you like shit, and then you're the only one left. It's like Behind the Music.
A Hollywood Story.
It's Behind the Music on MTV with different people in the cast.
A tale as old as time.
I don't know. I look like Barbara Streisand in 1978 right now. You've got with the some afro. Hair going.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's darker. Did you dye it?
No.
This hasn't been sun kissed.
No. This is the people always think I dye my hair. Things are, I don't. I do nothing to it, and it has its own mind. Attitude and behavior. It, mm-hmm. I don't know.
But it does lighten in the sun and things.
Oh, right? Yes. Yeah. I look very Aboriginal by August.
We'll get you a didgeridoo.
I just need to go back to New Zealand where I belong with my family in my home.
when it comes to that, it's more didgeridon't.
Right? For you. Didgeri wouldn't, couldn't, and shouldn't.
So, breaking news for fans of Kim Cattrall and Sex and the City's reboot.
Fans of absent, Kim Cattrall.
We were reading about, Matt and I read this story, and we were like, oh my God, Kim Cattrall's going to be on the next season of... And just like that. Mm-hmm. And Mark's like, no, she's not.
Read the article again, because nowhere did it say they'll have some kind of something with Samantha Jones, but Kim Cattrall is not coming back.
Yeah,
it's ambiguous.
So you were differentiating between the character and the woman, which is something that I refuse to do.
Mm-hmm.
I
think they're going to recast her with Vanessa quote. Williams.
And I want the listeners to weigh in on this. Michael Patrick King, the creator and writer of Sex and the City and Just Like That, recently confirmed that Samantha Jones, the character, will feature in season 2 of And Just Like That, the Sex and the City revival series. Kim Cattrall did not appear in the season 1 of the show, but her iconic character will be playing a part in the upcoming episodes. She is not expected to reprise a role on screen, but recently insisted that Samantha will live forever. Just not with me!
Mm-hmm. It sounds like to me she's coming back for a little bit. Maybe it's a one cameo. Episode. Yeah.
It's like, you know, when the Muppets take Manhattan and, you know.
Sandra Bernhardt's the waitress.
There'll be a Zoom phone call. She'll record something with another actress who's not Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
And then they'll just make it seem as though they're acting together. Because I think they did that in one of the last movies.
I'm sure.
A lot of their scenes, they weren't really even there together.
Well, I don't even think Kristen Davis was in the room with herself for a lot of it. I think her face was over here and then the camera was there. I feel like they all had to like time zone it in. It was very complicated. Because she just, there's a difference between doing filler because you want to look better and then doing filler because you want to look like a different person.
But it is like interesting because, you know, you have a lot of, and we started seeing this when there was a controversy over the use TRANNY, where, you know, the T-slur, right? It was, there was a situation where, you know, our community, drag queens, trans people have been using this word for generations. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, because of Christian Siriano on Project One Way and then the skit on Saturday Night Live, everybody was like using that word in a pejorative sense.
Mm-hmm.
Hot blank mess. Right.
Yeah.
And so trans people said, you know what? Let's not use that word anymore. And people threw a fit. But part of that was also that there was a lot of trans people who had never been to a pride parade, never hung out with other trans people, never been to any clubs or bars or any spaces.
Well, yeah, you can hang out at home on the internet and you know everything you need to know about life, lived experience, and every human being you'll ever meet. That you don't have to leave your house to find all that out.
But they were right in the long term, and people don't use that term anymore.
And nobody cares.
Well, no, I don't really feel like anybody feels like they're missing anything. But I just always wonder, it's like, okay, where does the difference between other people taking it wrong and how you feel about it? What's the intersection of that? That's what I think about. Because queer is a word that makes a lot of other people feel very comfortable.
You don't like that word.
It makes me want to vomit. I can't handle it. No.
And academics have decided this is the official word.
Yeah, and so everyone else has just...
LGBTQ plus XYZ.
And I don't even... Yeah. I don't need the alphabet fucking initialization either. It's just like no one is going to consult with you about what terms are like popular and protected. Like no one's going to show up to your fucking door and knock and ask. So like you just kind of gotta go with what's around.
As long as we're compassionate and we're fighting for equality, it's going to be okay. You know, and this is a question I get asked by rich, powerful people.
Cause we know so many,
I know quite a few. And they asked me like, what do you think about unions and the unionization of, you know, your average workplace? And I said, well, if people are not being paid a livable wage, if people are being systemically discriminated at work, you're going to get unions, whether you like them or not. It's irrelevant. And anything you and I feel about it, it's not going to be relevant because there is an underlying problem that can't sustain itself.
But that is the thing. No one wants to engage with you when you go there, because if you say, fuck what you and I feel, let's just deal with reality. No one wants to engage anymore. It's not fun anymore because it's not emotional. They don't have to process their whole childhood through everything you said. And they don't get to fucking cry and piss and moan and groan and cry to their mommy.
Your feelings are relevant, but they're not going to change the outcome of the situation.
No.
And so what? Your feelings don't matter.
They do there matter. You go. Your feelings do
they're,
matter.
They are an internal battle that you have to deal with, but they're no one else's problem.
Your feelings sometimes don't matter in the outcome of what's going to happen.
I think the
often
way you
your
approach,
feelings have nothing.
I think
do.
The way you approach problems with love and compassion, which is a feeling, is definitely going to shape the outcome of things. However, sometimes we have to acknowledge that there's a bigger picture here, and whether we love or hate something or how we feel about it is not going to necessarily going to change the outcome when that systemic inequality is just not going to sustain itself.
I approach my problems with a Glock. And while I know that there are bigger guns out there, that don't stop me from shooting, fam. You feel me?
I don't know what
I need a say. Translation for that, please.
Oh, so now you don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, how the tables have turned.
Can you give me the cliff notes of that?
You'll have to go to an inner city high school in the 1980s to get to the bottom of that one. You have to pull a Mr. Feeny on Boys Meets World.
So Kim Cattrall is going to be back on television, though, playing basically similar character on a new series called Glamorous. So she's going to be sort of like a... you know, Samantha Jones inspired character, according to the news article. But
okay,
whether you know, because listen, she's great at playing what we all want to see her do.
A whore,
sex positive, fashionista, you know, woman of a modern
a
age.
Hooker in good clothes that come off
and
easily.
She, and now she can take prep and just go at it. I
don't think that was on top of Samantha's list. I just have a feeling.
But so with the Sex and the City reboot and just like that, there was all these young people who...
I love how we want to start this gay fantasy that straight women are worried about HIV and taking prep. I know.
She was on Sex and the City. She made guys wear condoms.
Well, yeah, but like I'm saying, like there is no fucking heterosexual woman on the face of the earth who's like, I slept with a bi guy, now I need post exposure. Like, we're all just living out here free. Like, I don't think anyone's
listen,
worried
women
like that.
If you're out there and you're fucking all sorts of men, get on prep.
Yeah,
your doctor will prescribe it for you. You won't have to pay for it. Get it.
I had a family member who was like, came to me, I was sitting in a jacuzzi tub living my best life,
an egg drop soup,
and they're, you know, hey Fausto, do you have any condoms? I'm like, honey, it's 2022, honey. I have some prep if you want some prep. And they were just like, you are taking prep? And this is a queer person. Mm-hmm. Came of age, you know? Mm-hmm. Should know better. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, and they wouldn't let it go.
And she's, they slut shamed you.
They slut shamed me. And then I'm like, you must not know about me. You must not know mm-hmm. about me. Because I've been talking about PrEP for over a decade. We were the first people to report on it, practically. Mm-hmm. You know,
you notice how after we got PrEP that there were a lot more gay people in the media. It's almost like when they saw us and they weren't like, LOL, butt sex, AIDS, death. It suddenly, once that Beavis and Butthead moment passed, yeah. they were like, oh, they can design stuff and write stuff and act. And isn't that interesting?
What is it that you said about Liza Minnelli? She was interviewed.
Yeah. Liza Minnelli was interviewed by another paragon of American comedy, Joy Beha. So what? Who cares?
I don't think she's ever actually said that.
I think she's said it many times.
Fred Armisen said it in Saturday Night Live, imitating
so
her.
What? Who cares? Yeah.
So what? Who cares?
And she asked Liza, you know, there's a very few women who are in your category, not yeah. just the Oscars and the Tonys and stuff, but it's like you, Bette Midler, your mother. There's just very few women that are like in such good reputation with gay men. Why do you think you're like a gay icon? And then Liza got really serious for about 2 seconds, and she said, well, I think the answer is pretty simple. They have good taste. And she just sat in it. She just luxuriated in the line.
Can you say it like Liza now?
They have good taste, honey. That's as best as I got. Yeah, Mateo yeah, Lane yeah. does a much better Liza.
Actually, there's a Schwa Potter is the world's greatest Liza impersonator.
Well,
we also have who else does it? I forgot. Anyway,
Alexandra Billings will always be the best Katharine Hepburn.
Mm.
Yes.
Shout out to Alexandra Billings if you have not seen her Mr. Cellophane on YouTube, because she did the Broadway reverse. What did they call backwards? So yeah. women playing men's roles, men playing women's roles. Mm. She tells a wonderful story about being trans and then singing Mr. Cellophane from Chicago, and it's brilliant.
Mm.
She always holds a special heart, a place in like the heart for Fausto and I, because our friend Victoria Lamar absolutely adored her. Mm-hmm. And whenever she was like in the depths of depression, we were like, we talked to Alexandra today. And then she'd be like, what?
Suddenly happened? Everything's better.
Everything's better. Everything's better. You can get her out of the house if you just mentioned Alexandra's name.
Well, I went on because Alexandra and Honey West used to have a talk show on mm-hmm. AM radio here in Chicago.
Oh, my.
And so I went on to talk about Feast of Fools and with them. And we got sidetracked in talking about Judy Davis's show. Mm. Playing Judy Garland.
Yeah, me and my shadow.
Mm-hmm. And my shadow's right. Best Judy Garland.
I read the book that was based on the school bus going back and forth to Low Amy Grade School in Springfield, Illinois. I was a gay child.
Yes, you were.
So Judy Davis, child. As Judy Garland says in this line, I don't think actually Judy Garland ever said this. She says, do you think it's easy being Judy Garland? I've been trying to be Judy Garland all my life.
That sounds very real.
Mm-hmm. And then Alexandra Billings was like, do you think it's easy being Katharine Hepburn?
I've been trying to be Katharine Hepburn all of my life.
Yeah, and she started doing every voice of every diva effortlessly. Brilliant. Switching mm-hmm. back and forth. And it was just like, you know.
And you mentioned that
we don't get to see Alexandra Billings as a comedian, because a lot, like, she's really shines as this like witty presence.
Yeah, cabaret solo performer is more what she does now.
And now she's, you know,
and a great actress.
Now she's on Broadway. She's doing stuff on Broadway
and a very good actress. She's in the
Connor. She's on television. Just,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, and the Tonys happened, and I want to do a shout out to Zach Stafford, who's been on this podcast a couple of times before. You may have remembered him. He came on to talk about Top Privilege. On how bottoms,
the burritos.
Yeah, how it's hard for like a bottom to go out to Chipotle before they have sex, but a top doesn't really have to worry about
it. Nope, we don't.
And so it was a real kind of fun topic. So he's actually come on a couple of times. He also talked about his struggle with anorexia and eating disorders and how it affects a lot of queer people. And
why is Matt laughing?
It's really funny because he's gonna go on the episode and talk about all the stuff he gets to eat when he realizes he's not fat. It's just really funny to me. I'm sorry.
Anyway, a lot of people related to that, so we got a lot of feedback from that. And you know, he went on to work for Grindr, and then he was an editor for Out Magazine. And then he became a producer of Strange Loop along with RuPaul and Billy Porter.
Yeah.
And so he now has a Tony.
Damn.
Tony.
You know, I'm just realizing that, like, the Oscar, the Tony, the Grammy, and
EGOT.
EGOT, right? So it's what the Emmy, Oscar, Tony,
Grammy. Jennifer Hudson has an EGOT now.
Mm-hmm. It's like Infinity Stones for a performer.
It is.
And when you get all those awards, you can snap the universe to your will.
Yep. Kill half the people.
Or get a gig or make anything happen, you know?
Or make anything happen. Patti LuPone won her third Tony.
Yeah, she has zero Oscars, but three Tonys. She's a woman of the theater.
I am
the stage.
Yes.
I don't really think I need the reasons why I won't succeed. I haven't started.
I've always dreamed of sitting in a Broadway audience and having Patti LuPone yell at me. Do I not wear a mask? Do I take a photo?
Is that the only sexual fantasy you have about women? It's just Patti LuPone just cussing you the fuck out from 3,000 feet
you
away.
You don't have the right. Wait, that's Avery Brooks in Deep Space Nine.
And she won for Company.
Yes, she played Joanne.
Is that the person who sings The Ladies Who Lunch?
I'd like to propose a toast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does all that. Because that role was originated in 1970, which would be 52 years ago, by Elaine Stritch, who is near and dear to any gay's heart. Because she was an alcoholic who didn't sober up till she was like 70. And then she's like, I got a story to tell about it. And we as gays, we love someone who's a mess until the quarter hour, just till the last moment, and then puts it all together. It's just we love
you horrified me. You horrified me because you said 1970 was 50 years ago, and I was like, that is impossible. And I was like, it is.
I'm going to die. Actually, 52 years ago, 1970.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dying. I'm just dying. Just saying.
And wasting away to a ton. Just while we're heaping on the compliments.
I'm starving to death. Oh my god. Yeah, it was a great, you know, see all the diversity and all the great shows that people are not going
to
see.
Yeah, I got to see Billy Porter act like he's the first black faggot to put on a dress. Big fucking whoopee goddamn do. He's on my nerves.
Why is he on your nerves?
Because he is ahistorical. What he does and the way he does it is absolutely disrespectful to just fucking history. I really feel that way from the bottom of my heart.
Don't tell me what time it is. Or what is it? What does this song go? Billy Porter.
There are just so many black, non-gender confused, whatever fancy
like
fucking
Sylvester,
Jackie Little Shane, Little Richard. It goes back and back and back. And then Billy Porter was like, well, Harry Styles is still my. Well, you're not original in the first place. Neither of you are. No one gets an award. Okay. Nobody. Y'all suck. You're all reductive.
Billy got a Tony.
He's one of the seven people to put money in that fucking show. Yeah, Jennifer Hudson got a Tony too. You know, she has half of her EGOT is from not performing. That Emmy is from a reality TV show that she was a producer on. She gave him money. Okay. And the same thing with Strange Loop. She only earned the Oscar and the Grammy. The other things were shit that she did just from being around and being a rich lady.
Well, you must not be alone in your assessment of Billy Porter, because he actually wrote a song called Children.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the lyrics. I know times are hard. I mean it from the heart. You're not losing the fight. Love will make it all right. Because I've been there, done that, worn this dress. So you know mama knows it best.
Oh, did him and his fucking white boyfriend put that one together? Oh, yippee-doo-kaye. Who gives a shit?
Gotta let these children know what time it is. Because I've been there, done that, worn that dress.
I adore him. I loved him in Pose. Fausto and I have not watched the last episode of Pose yet. Because I'm not ready for him die.
I don't want the... in my
mind. Oh, I'm ready. I've been ready.
He's like in that Star Trek, you know, where they teleport the person who's about to die because they're not ready for them to die yet. I'm teleported. I put the pause on Pose. So when I'm ready for the series to end, then I will watch.
I was hoping Sandra Bernhardt was going to show up as Nurse Judy and just inject some air into a big vein and give me an embolism, and he's just gone. Like, fuck it. It's just, you're annoying. Get out of here. I have no time. This could be a COVID bed, but here you are with AIDS, taking it up, bitching and moaning and groaning. Like, no. It could always be something else.
Do you remember when last time Lollapalooza was happening in Chicago?
It sounds very heterosexual.
Last year.
Yeah. And we were like, you know, I came of age. Lollapalooza was, you know, just straight people mostly enjoying music and taking most of their clothes off and having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a summer music festival. Why are you vomiting?
Who wants to see a bunch of nasty straight people? See, we were going downtown
and it was like half of the men wearing pearls and glitter, high heels, shoes in the mud.
Very
like,
elegant.
Wigs and feather boas. And I was like,
you did not see a wig and a feather boa.
I did. And I'm like, these are heterosexual men in quasi drag. And I'm like, who's performing at this shit that like has inspired them? Well, I guess it turns out that like, you know, this gender ambiguous and most specifically pearl necklaces are huge right now in marketing for men. And the rise of buying jewelry for men is like at an all time high historically.
Well, Varla Jean Merman wrote a song about this a long time ago.
What was the song?
This girl, she needs a pearl necklace. Let me close my eyes. Don't shoot between my thighs.
For people that don't know what a pearl necklace is, it's when you have jizz on your chest.
But like Major League Baseball players and Harry Styles, Drake, a lot of rappers and pop culture icons are all wearing pearl necklaces that make them look like Barbara Bush.
Pearl necklaces are not vegan.
And they're not vegan.
Well, no.
Cancel.
What animal? Oh, yeah, because clams, I guess.
Oysters.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm from the woods. I know nothing about it. I think it's weird that you think being Barbara Bush isn't fashionable, because I think Caitlyn Jenner proved that being Barbara Bush is very fashionable. Like, just waiting to be a woman till you could be a 70-year-old Republican woman, I think, might be the ultimate Barbara Bush stan in all of captivity.
It's gone so mainstream that most Major League Baseball players are doing well now.
Mm-hmm.
According this to the New York Times,
They're all wearing
pearl necklace out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're playing their game with, you know, like, oh my God, I can't believe I hit a home run. These men are not wearing, of course, your grandma's classic white pearl strand. It incorporates diamonds or adds pearls to a gold chain. So it has a different look to it, but it's not.
Well, I mean, guys have been wearing gold chains since late 80s, like, I mean, and before, like, gold chains have been very common. My thing is, like, why do we have to address this as fucking gender non-binary? Why do we have to address this as, like, gender fluid jewelry? Like, if everything's drag, nothing's drag. What if just shit that is out there, like objects, don't have a gender because they're things and not people? And so if you like a necklace, you like a necklace, and you don't have to call your mother and tell her that you, like, it doesn't matter. Grow up and get a real problem. Oh, my God.
RuPaul is listening to this and saying, you do have a valid point, Matt. However, I'm sorry I can't hear you because the Tony Award is speaking louder.
Listen, they can win their Tony and I can fuck a guy named Tony. I love Italian men. They vote Democrat and they buy you fur coats.
You'd have sex with Tony or Curtis.
Oh, and Tony or Orlando or Don. I would really, any option you could throw in front of me.
How much do you think like a strand of like real pearls costs?
$10,000.
I have no idea.
That's the high end, but you can get them for as low as like in the hundreds of dollars and like thousands of dollars.
Oh, nice.
I usually,
but,
you know,
but if they're high quality, it's going to be like $10,000.
Any pearl necklace I ever worn, I didn't pay for.
No.
Mm-hmm. Now he may have.
I licked it up.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, how do you guys feel about jizz? It's like, yeah, like, what is it?
I like to let people stew in it. Fausto's quick, let's get a towel and clean it up. And I actually
I'm
told
just
him,
trying
I'm
to
like,
be polite.
Please just relax with getting a towel and clean up. Let people savor it for a moment.
Well, jizz is like, is interesting, non-Newtonian fluid, right? So,
honey, English.
So, non-Newtonian fluids are both solid and liquid in some degree. Like jello.
Oh my God.
And so when it comes out, it's kind of like a gel.
Mark, I don't know. I've made it for 20 years. I have no fucking idea.
I'm the youngest of 8 kids. I grew up in a big family. I have a lot of patience.
Okay.
So the jizz comes out kind of like jello, right? But the
not mine. I think you need to go to the doctor.
Heats it up and turns it into a liquid. And so I want to pick it up before it starts going all over the place.
You're just grossed out by it.
No, also, like, I think I have an allergic reaction to sperm because it's high in chlorine. And so my skin burns. it burns.
Okay, Coco Peru.
Oh my God. I'm so glad that, like, in this current, like, configuration of chromosomes and identity, that you don't feel like a woman, because you would totally be one of those girls, like, on Reddit at the gynecologist being like, I can't get pregnant because every time my boyfriend comes to me, it burns and I don't have chlamydia. I don't get it. Some people are literally actually fully have an allergic reaction to semen. Like, that's actually a thing that can
I think
happen.
I may have one, even and, to my own sperm. Yeah.
Well, the reason why, yeah. like, they, you know, this
to the sperm skin.
Is, or just is like has chlorine in it because it's an alkaline, right? Well, the vagina is acidic, and so you kind of it needs that kind of like the balance.
What happens if you fuck in a pool?
Well, that's why you're when you ever have you ever smelled jizz or afterwards, it smells like a pool.
Yeah,
I just try to be in the other room as soon as possible. I just try to be away from the
you're
crime.
Like, I came, I'm out.
Well, I just try and get away from my crimes personally. Listen, Jack the Ripper only could survive in the 1800s. I'm busy.
Did you hear about the elephant that killed the woman in India?
Yes, went
up, saw this woman, killed her. Right. And then the family had her and they put her on the funeral pyre. Mm-hmm. The elephant returned, took her off the funeral pyre and then trampled her corpse again.
One last time.
One, like that elephant had something against this woman.
How do they know it was the same elephant? How do you tell elephants apart?
I don't know.
Exactly.
I had a tattoo.
it was a sailor.
It was 200 miles away from like where it was supposed to be. It would like it had
elephants go on walks.
What bothers
elephant,
me about
you ever watched that movie Elephant Walk with Liz Taylor?
Oh yeah, where
I knew you did.
No, okay,
I knew
no, you this did. Is the thing.
You watched every old movie. I did. With no, your
the
grandma.
The reason Elephant Walk such a great movie is because they started it with Vivian Leigh from Gone with the Wind.
Oh really?
But then she had a nervous breakdown because she was bipolar like Miss Brown. She couldn't handle too much all the time, so Vivian had to go away to the hospital. And so they're like, Elizabeth Taylor, get your ass back in here. So there are some shots where you just see skinny and fat and skinny and fat. Cause like,
no way, really?
Like Vivian Leigh was taller and thinner than Elizabeth Taylor, even when she was like young. Mm-hmm. Vivian Leigh was just tall and thin. And so you just see from the side, from the angle, everything fucked up.
Now with this news story that's everywhere on the internet, everybody's reaction is like, what did she do? And I'm like,
die.
Maybe the elephant was an asshole and just had it out for her.
Maybe,
you know,
maybe I had a problem, but the thing is they do say elephants remember and they have
remember to fuck this woman's life up. Literally killed her.
I was attacked by an elephant twice. There was at the zoo. This
maybe
girl,
you had something.
This girl, the elephant was in the water, and this girl was offering it a peanut. Mm-hmm. And it like she took the peanut away. The trunk came out, but she took the peanut away. So she was teasing it and did it again. Well, the elephant had a whole snout full of water and just sprayed it right at her. But I got some of it too. I got water and elephant snot. And then another time, I was there by the elephant pen. Like there was some grass down there, so I kind of pulled the grass up and I gave it to him. And then its trunk started to go around my neck and was like all around my neck. And luckily I'd learned self-defense. So I knew to kind of like pull it and turn and get out of it. But otherwise, I think that elephant probably could have just like lifted me up right off the ground and snapped my neck.
That sounds kind of hot.
No,
and then you,
I wouldn't
and then
be here today.
And that's how he learned about autoerotic asphyxiation.
Mark, take me to a zoo. I'm ready to end it all.
Elephants do kill people. They kill their trainers. I think in the zoo, either in Pittsburgh or in my hometown, I think somebody was killed by... But no, I think it was Pittsburgh because we had a listener of the podcast who moved to Pittsburgh to take care of that elephant. I'm like, you know, that elephant killed somebody. He's like, yeah, but I don't think that they were treating him all that well, or they didn't know exactly what the circumstance was.
Don't you love how everyone's a victim of abuse?
Well, those poor elephants, you know, they get chained up and they don't get to roam. And, you know, they're very social and some of them live live solitary lives. And thank God there's an elephant rescue, I think, somewhere in the south. So all the old circus elephants and ones from the zoo, they get to live with each other.
I do not
they
understand.
They remember each other from 40 years ago and they touch their trunks and it's like they're crying. It's so heartbreaking.
So it's like Tiger King, but it's elephants. Yeah.
But this is how I feel about that. Because I have thumbs and can talk. I don't need to know about any of that shit. The elephants can go wrap trunks and cry far away from me. I am not supposed to know about any of that. Animals are just, no. They're animal, they're wild creatures. They belong eating dirt in the woods behind like a forest.
We're taking their environment away from them.
Well, they'll just have to talk to Jeff Bezos about that, won't they?
All right.
So talking about back to our original idea of how things have changed. Sexuality has changed, and you're having like, you know, Paula Poundstone early on in the podcast talked about being asexual,
right.
And she said she would she thought it was ridiculous that there would be an asexual pride flag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now there is.
There is.
And asexual people marching in solidarity with each other at a pride parade.
What I love about Paula is the way she references her asexuality. There's like a difference to me, and like, because I love her stand up. There's like a difference in before when she was younger and when she was older. Because before she had kids, she's just like, that just seems like something I would not want to do. I don't want to take part in that. But then after she had kids, she's like, I cannot imagine the idea of going to bed and there being another activity.
Like, I thought I was done. Like,
the energy of, like, when you're just like really have a lot of responsibilities and a lot on your plate, do you need to come? Are you free enough to come?
You know,
but then asexual people do masturbate. They just don't want to do it with anybody else.
And talk about identity.
Visibility.
Too, and one identity that didn't last. I was looking through an old gay newspaper from the 80s or 90s. I think it was probably the early 90s or late 80s.
Whenever they kicked you out of high school.
No. I went to the Gerber Hart Library here and I was looking at some old newspapers. So I just wanted to see what the advertisements looked like and things. And they had one for the Lavender Elephants. And it was a group for people who were considered themselves overweight. And I'm just like, you could never do that today.
No,
you would never have like a.
What if being fat is a gender soon, though? I mean, because people can identify as cottage core. Like, I feel like reading a book. That's who I am on the inside. So, like, why can't being fat be your whole identity? I don't know. Like, I don't ever want to lose weight. I could never lose weight. This Mark is who and I am. I don't know.
It was like, I don't know what it was called before, but it became Mirth and Girth.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became Bears.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we sort of saw that identity form and with a flag. And it's like, you know, you have, and people were a little bit resistant at first to it, but then it's, you know, unquestioned.
Well, my thing is like with the leather flags and with the bear flags and with stuff, it's like, what if I am not against that? Like, I have been attracted to bears, but I'm not specifically attracted to bears. Do I need, like, is there an ally version of this flag? If a fat old man has ever made me come, do I owe somebody something?
Are you a bear ally like Tom Goss?
I don't know who that is, but sure, maybe. I don't know. But I don't know. I like older men, and skinny's never been a big deal to me, so I guess I could really be into a bear one day. I don't know. It could happen. It could happen tomorrow.
So here's a list of things and see if you know what they mean. You know what bi-curious means?
Yeah.
Bi-romantic?
Yeah.
Demi-romantic?
Is that emotional first?
People who identify as demi-romantic usually do not feel romantic attraction to people who they do not have a strong bond with initially.
Okay, so you got to be friends first to get your dick hard. I feel that.
Gynosexual.
You just like pussy.
It's sexual attraction towards women, females, and feminine things.
Well,
okay. Heteroromantic.
I figure we all know what that one is.
Homoromantic.
We've all tried.
Lesbian.
Lesbian. That's my favorite word. I think it's the best. I honestly think it's the best identity word.
Monos. You know, part of it is like a lot of people who in the past would call themselves lesbians don't use the term anymore.
No.
But like, you know, I have to say like somebody, this is a blogger. Bourgeois Degenerate, great name, wrote that Fausto Fornosa's Cougar Pride flag or lipstick lesbian flag was created 5 years before the lipstick lesbian flag was posted, and the design was stolen. They're crediting me.
They recognize your work.
They're recognizing me as the father of, or the non-binary person, a parent of the lesbian flag.
I love how you misgendered yourself and then raced to correct it. And then you're like, wait, no, I care about how I feel about me. Like, that was just 3 seconds.
I just think it's funny to say the father of the lesbian.
I just felt like I was watching dice fall on a table. Like, I just didn't know what the fuck's going to come out. Is it 12? Is it 2? I have no idea.
The flag was made to be satirical. It's true. Combating ageism and sexism in women's sexuality. Mm-hmm. Also true. It is so gorgeous, this flag. It's Fausto's design. Especially compared to the lesbian flag that was stolen.
Lesbian.
By butch-hating, biphobe, transphobic person.
Lesbian.
Ooh. Let's bring back Fausto's flag back. Let's give it the beauty and the credit that was stolen from it. Isn't that beautiful?
That is
Thank beautiful. You, bourgeois degenerate.
Fausto the Fag designed a flag. You are,
just to let you know,
you are the Betsy Ross of our people.
Of lesbians. I'm the Betsy Ross of lesbians. And to this day, I've not received a single penny.
I'm not surprised. They're cheap.
I haven't even met a woman named Penny who credited me.
I've never met a lesbian with more than three outfits, so I know why you haven't seen a penny.
Oh, come on.
They're saving it. Lesbians are frugal people. They know how to save money.
Don't make as much money as
and
men
so
on
they're
average.
Careful. Yes. I think, listen, sometimes your trauma shapes you in a good way. Okay. Okay. You take that 77.
You got to have respect for lesbians.
Oh, I do.
They've been through a lot.
They
do a lot.
They've a lot of shit I don't want to do. Similar to our veterans.
Thank you for your service.
Kindly.
I mean, you know, like I would not.
I only want to join the army or eat pussy when I'm
I would
drunk.
Not be the awesome person I am today if I didn't have amazing lesbian teachers who helped steer me in the right direction.
Same with me. I was raised by nuns who were all either lesbians or gender nonconforming.
Yeah.
They did not consider themselves that way. And don't you think it's unfair to put that language on them?
These are women who literally
come out as lesbians.
I know. No, I'm not talking about the sex stuff.
No.
I don't think any nun who had her head shaved under her habit thought, I'm doing this to be like a boy. Like, I don't think that anywhere like, I'm breaking
the
rules.
There wasn't options back then. There weren't a lot of options. But, you know, a lot of these obituaries I'm reading of these nuns are like survived by partner, that kind of stuff happening all the time. Yeah.
Well,
but they were also, you know, these were women who took men's names. It was Sister Mary Patrick. It was Sister Sebastian, you know, Sister Joachim. There was all sorts of like they had male.
I remember
names.
Sister Mary Hugh.
There's a book that John Waters describes as his favorite book for a while was Lesbian Nuns Breaking Silence.
And we talked to that one lesbian nun about that.
Yeah.
John Waters is really into extreme Catholicism. Another thing that I found out because of him, he loves St. Catherine of Siena, who also became one of my favorite saints because she became, you know, enchanted by her love of the Lord and then decided that she would go work with sick people to, you know, serve and get closer and to get even closer to God. She would eat their pus and scabs and shit.
Oh my God.
Because she wanted to get closer to the Lord. And that's a kind of extreme Catholicism, like commit, you know? Maria,
if you're gonna walk the walk,
I'm a huge fan of Dr. Laura Pimple Popper, and I love to see those cysts get popped and stuff like
just
that.
Just pop a lipoma right in your mouth and say, "I love the Lord."
Oh Jesus!
Say, "I love the Lord." He heard my cry and pitied every groan.
This podcast has gone too far.
I haven't gone far enough.
Well, so anyway, the point I'm bringing all this stuff is because you know, like our sexual identities and the acts that we do and how we have sex is all evolving too.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, Mark, you said in the past, before the internet, people asked you, what do you do in the bedroom?
Yeah.
No one ever asked that anymore. They more ask, what do you like to do in the bedroom?
Why is that one word such a big difference? Because I don't think I would interpret it that way.
Because you didn't want to be like explaining how you got your dick sucked to your mom or something. Now no one needs to know.
Because they can look at it. They didn't can understand Google. What gay sex was.
Okay.
I'm talking like 80s and 90s. Before
okay. Now. I was really confused because I thought you were saying like your partners don't ask you what you do in the bedroom because it's easier to find out now in
an app. Not the people that you're connecting with sexually. I'm talking about the general public. Like at the workplace. No one's like at work going like, I wonder what Fausto does in the bedroom.
Were people asking you those questions in 1999?
Yes, it was very inappropriate.
They would walk right up to you.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, it was a thing like you would, if you watch like, you know, old daytime talk shows, they're like, well, so you're lesbians. What do you guys exactly do in the bedroom? Like, who's the man in the relationship? You know, questions like that would happen.
Because I saw that shit on daytime TV, but I grew up so Midwestern and so Appalachian and just so country that the idea of discussing your sex life in no detail, but just like point blank period to your family and to your parents would be like just the it would literally be like shitting on the dining room table to tell your mom that you got your dick sucked by him. Like, it doesn't care if you're straight or gay. Just, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. I don't want to. I just do not want to know.
And I think that, you know, that uncomfortableness, I think in some ways sort of holds back parents and, you know, older people from understanding what younger people are experiencing and desiring.
I don't think you need to understand everything the young people are experiencing. They have to be young while you're old and you don't have to get everything. That's okay. You do not have to do LSD to support your child while they're going to fucking raves and shit.
Sure.
You have to support them.
But part of it is, I think, you know, regardless of whether you're talking about your sexuality or not, I think you want to create a space of good communication with your family members and your loved ones. And if you can't have that, you know, you sort of have to like step back and ask yourself, like, why is this not possible?
Or you could take a step back and say, why the fuck do I need to talk to my mother about this? I don't know why no one's ever asked that question. Why do I need to tell my mom? Like, if you want to tell your mom you're gay, cool. Does she need to find out?
That's what people said.
But
one needed to know that I was gay in the past because that was my
private. You want to have a relationship with your parents. Yeah. You want to feel close to them. You want them to understand who you are.
No, you want them to die and for you to get their shit and everyone move on.
Not everybody has the same relationship to their mother that you have, Matt.
Okay, I cannot imagine the idea of wanting to be intimate in that way. I understand wanting to be real with your mom and say, you know, I feel really strong about this person. I think I want to move in with them. I think I want to build a future with them. But the idea to be like, yeah, no, when he sucks my dick, I just fucking like, I don't.
Well, who says that to their mother?
Well, to me, to get into that, to get into any level of detail about your sex life with your parents is going there. I don't want to know when my sister and her husband fuck. I just hope they do so they stay married. I don't want to know. I don't want
to
know.
Things about sex to me. She's just like, I could have never had that kind of conversation with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that had been said.
Her mom probably told her to lay down there and pretend like you're having surgery. She
probably didn't say anything at all.
If that.
Yeah.
The job of children is to be better than their parents. Uh-huh. And the job of parents is to make their kids better than they are, you know? And in a lot of ways, it's about like guiding people, but at the same time, it's about listening and growing and adjusting your worldview based on new information.
I just think that if your parent and your kid ever tells you something about like their personal life that you didn't want to know, that's okay. You don't have to investigate it. You don't have to Google it. You can just say, I'm happy for you, honey. Let me know if you need anything. And disappear off into the ignorant night you came from with a smile on your face. It's okay.
And that's what, you know, like dragging your kid to a nightclub where adults are like drinking, you know, and it's like, I don't know. Like, I'm more of the go to the library and go to the drag queens.
If my family had been supportive, I would have been straight. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being dead ass here. If my mom had tried to be involved and wanted to know everything, it would have repelled me so much from trying to find out who I am. I would have become someone else to get her away from me. Sometimes
that's a bit extreme.
No, because this is the thing. Part of growing up, getting over puberty, yeah, growing up and getting out of your, it's about individuating. You need to be separate from them. They don't need to get everything. They don't need to understand everything. They don't need to have to help you through everything. They just have to be around to make sure you don't fucking drive off your car into a goddamn bridge. They're just there to keep you baseline alive, just like when you were three.
Completely different relationships with their parents.
And they're wrong and they're inappropriate and they're too close. You do not need to know all that shit. They're too close and it's inappropriate and it's wrong and it's not helping you.
Well, a lot of gay boys, they're mama's boys.
And that's why they're like that. And that's why they can't get a hard dick even around a man.
So
they're bottoms because nothing works because they're shut down. Mm-hmm. Don't make me ask for details.
I'm a mother. I'm a mama's boy.
Yeah, they're sexually shut down. Blame their mothers. Everything's fine. No.
Anyways, moving on. So, you know, large dicks. We used to be like, the bigger, the better. You know, like the advertising for Godzilla with what was it? Ferris Bueller. What was the actor who played Ferris Bueller?
Matthew Broderick.
Matthew Broderick starred in a Godzilla reboot.
And I was going to say, no one thought Matthew Broderick had a big dick.
But the ad for the movie was bigger is better. And it had like buses with that written on it. And, you know,
I mean, who doesn't like a big dick?
Me? You know, I do not.
I can take it or leave it.
But you like a big dick.
I also like other kinds of dicks.
Too. Right. But you don't hate big dicks.
No, I don't. I hate any dicks.
I will bring a big dick to the party, but I won't leave home with one. Does that make sense? Like, I support them when they're mine.
So now how old is this? Penis shortening bumpers are coming back, which is like a pad. And Matt, I wanted you to see this because
put it on the bottom half of your dick, you basically.
Like a big
Oh, it's like a wet Susie.
Yeah. So it's a giant pad that you tie around your waist and your dick goes through it and it's thick enough. Your dick isn't long enough to really go in there.
So it's not just like a cock ring kind of thing.
It's not like
it's way bigger than that.
Yeah, it's like a pad. I thought it was
because basically someone's trying to get rid of the bottom 2 inches.
Yeah. That's the whole, they're trying to just make
well,
that.
Well, they say that if you lose like 50 pounds, you gain an inch in your dick.
That's mythological.
That's what Oprah said. And, you know,
it's that, you know, because you have
she swang
in that pubis mound. But, you know, this thing was designed by a woman who, you know, she was getting a big dick and it was hurting her. And she was complaining to doctors and they were just like, you know, women going to the doctor complaining about, you know, painful intercourse. They don't usually get a lot of sympathy from doctors.
Yeah.
And so she was just like, I'm going to design this thing. And
now, why didn't they think of like, okay, because you can go like mathematically do the research on this. There's like research on dick size geographically, wherever you go throughout the world. I don't know. Like, I think
it's based on height.
I think the biggest, not always.
Statistically speaking, the taller you are on average, the longer your dick is going to be.
I've been with really tall men who did
same.
Not have,
exactly. Yeah, there's same. Always going to be an exception to that rule. But statistically speaking, the taller the person is, the more likelihood.
And I've been with little short guys who are like,
exactly.
Were tripods.
They're always, always, you know, exceptions.
I don't know. I just.
So the moral of the story is that we can't tell a person, you can't judge a book by its
chances
cover.
Are if they're tall, it's going to be longer.
A but, cover is not
but,
the book.
But my thing is, like, if the dick is that big and it's fucking you up that much, how hard it would be to, I don't know, find a different boyfriend who's not built like a farm animal? I don't know. Like, how hard would that be? Like, am I asking something unreasonable? You know, you're a really nice guy. We should be friends. We should get dinner together every night.
They're in love.
No one is in love with having their cervix readjusted 3 times a week. I can't believe in that. No, just go find a nice guy.
I have met guys before who were just like, I was dating this guy, but his dick was too big. I couldn't yes. fit it in my mouth. I couldn't fit it in my ass. So it was just like, it was over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh,
one of these dick bumpers would have saved my last relationship. It really, I would still have a happy home, but like, you know, life just don't always work out that way. But I don't know. I just think if you can't take the big one, go give it to someone who can. Don't keep it for yourself. Okay, don't be selfish out here. Give it away.
Yeah, don't keep it to yourself.
There's gonna be some nice guy who's like 5'3", who doesn't have a lot to offer downstairs, who has a lot to offer upstairs. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation with him. You can't handle a big dick, he'll fuck you real gentle and then pay for it.
Mm. Says the man who wants to date. What is it, the star?
Men on their deathbeds.
I think 60 is a good age. I think 60 is a good age. Like, almost retired or very, like,
you should go to Palm Springs.
I'd have to get there and then also lose 30 pounds first. But,
they like everybody.
Yeah, but then I'd have.
Now, what's your pride schedule like? Is that you're a comedian? You're probably doing lots of gay shows.
Oh yeah, no. Okay, so my pride schedule is booked, busy. Tuesday night, the day this podcast will probably come out, I'm doing a show at a gay bar, Replay. Thursday night, and
here in Andersonville,
yeah, here. Honey, I don't know. I don't go to gay bars. I'll find out the night of. I'll show up somewhere.
So you don't even know where you're going?
It's one of the gay replays. I'll figure it out.
They're all gay.
Oh, well, then I'll figure it out faster.
So it's a bar that has, like, you know, Mrs. Pac-Man and Galaga.
I don't know what the bar has, honey. I never been there.
You could do, like, 80s video game jokes.
I don't know how gay bars work. I don't know. I don't know. I've never.
How does this lovely place?
I don't know what happens. I really do not know. Thursday night, I'm at Lincoln Lodge. Then all of Pride weekend, the weekend of Pride of the Parade, I'm going to be hosting at Comedy Bar downtown on Superior in Michigan.
All right.
Yeah, we'll be having a good time.
Follow Miss Brown Comic.
Ms. Brown Comedy.
The MS stands for multiple sclerosis.
I'm very sick.
It stands for non-binary.
There you go. You got it. It's a joke about non-binary. Everyone said, what are your pronouns? Ma'am. Those are my pronouns. It's Ms. Brown. Like, that's as much conversation as I can have about it.
That's okay. We'll get you to your final destination. We're here for the ride.
FD3? Yeah. You mean when the log comes out of the car and it decapitates me? Yeah.
And you wake up the next morning with breasts.
I've always wanted to be Lonnie Anderson instead of Louis Anderson.
Tell the man with the money to come pay me.
I'm really rolling with the 1981 jokes tonight.
Listen, that's what Replay is all about. It's retro.
Oh, it is? Okay, yeah.
So do all your 80s material.
I should I should not wear makeup that night because there might be like a man.
You might show up.
I know, right?
Wait, do you wear like stage makeup?
Yeah, it's a lot. I look like
it's war paint.
I look like Maria Callas getting ready to do Medea. It's a lot. The eyeliner is out to a different country.
Don't tell me. Can you do the Patti LuPone line? Don't tell me what they.
I don't really think I need the reasons why I won't succeed. I haven't started. Let's get this show on the road. Let's make it obvious. Piranha's off and rolling.
Eyes, hair, mouth, figure.
Dress, voice, style, movement. Hands, product, rings, glamour,
I'm ready for my
dress,
Tony Award.
Voice, face, excitement. Why do I know all those words still?
All my scummy saw those expect me to outshine the enemy.
The aristocracy, I won't disappoint them. I am still, you see, Evita, I still want to sing Evita one day because she sings screw the middle classes while actually screwing the upper classes.
Screw
the middle classes, I will never accept them. She won't, well, but she's screwing the rich ones.
That whole Evita musical is based on this stupid book that's totally inaccurate,
paper thin.
Yeah,
but Tim Rice wrote some beautiful poetry out of it. The lyrics to that read like a book. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's
beautiful.
What do you like better, Evita or Jesus Christ Superstar?
Evita, 100%. Evita is Andrew Lloyd Webber's best score. I'm a fan of the opera, Jesus Christ Superstar. I don't care what. Evita, beginning to end. Best score, because all of Andrew Lloyd Webber's shit is way too long. Phantom of the Opera, he's a bad editor of his own material.
Yeah.
Evita is like 80 minutes long. It's a very short opera, essentially. There's very little talking. It's all music, and it just goes, and it's over, and it's perfect.
Ride on my train, oh my people, and when it's your turn to die, you'll remember.
Is that song about AIDS? Ride on this train, or my people, when
Ride
you die.
Ride on my train, oh my people.
Oh, well, we've all been ridden on a train.
They'll fire those cannons and lamentations, not just forever, for everybody.
When they fire those cannons, it will not be just for me, but for all of us.
Argentina.
Oh, God.
It's our funeral, too.
If these are the people of Buenos Aires, I welcome the chance to shine in their city.
The thing about it is, like, Jesus Christ Superstar, just not to get aside, but
yeah,
it's like, you know, everybody's like, Lin-Manuel Miranda did this amazing, you know, job at having like a racially diverse cast. No,
this has already been done 40 years ago.
And I'm like, Jesus Christ Superstar excels at that.
But this is what I'm saying.
That I feel like if you're a black, if you're casting a white person as Judas, you're doing the character.
When I was a senior in high school, my voice teacher said, I want you to do Judas and Jesus Christ Superstar. And I said, ma'am, you're crazy. And she's like, I really think you can do it.
Oh, I would love to hear you.
We'll see. Maybe one day I could. Maybe.
Jesus!
Just, exactly.
You started to believe the things they say of you. need to believe this talk of God is true.
Just you sing Jesus on 18 notes in a second. That's what my back feels like every morning.
Jesus.
Hey, Fausto. Yes, sir. We got a mail.
We got a mail.
You've got mail, like Meg Ryan.
Yes.
Are you Meg Ryan or Tom Hanks?
It's from.
It's from a man.
It's a box.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
It's from Amazon. Well, they recycle their Amazon stuff. Let's open it up and see.
Let's see. Is it from an ex-boyfriend? You still have the box he came in.
I podcast. Hope it's not a bomb.
It's from the Betty Ford Clinic.
Oh my God. I've always wanted to go to the Betty Ford.
We love to see someone bettering them.
It's very expensive.
Thank you.
Better yourself with Betty Ford. That's
the Simpsons, but it's still funny. Betty Ford Center, part of the Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
She's getting better every day.
As a t-shirt.
Stronger.
Says, Dear Mark and Fausto, thank you for your work over the years. Your podcast has given me something to listen and feel peace of mind when I was coming down from addiction. You are my gay uncles.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
Love
what else? So there's a hat that says Betty Ford.
What? No drugs sweet. In the box?
Open up that bottle and see if there's any.
I really hope you're doing better and feeling better, whoever you are. This is so sweet.
Wow, man. It's so weird to hear you be like kind and sensitive.
Well, I got to be honest. That's sort of like the whole thing that like it's sort of why performers perform.
Standard.
It's kind of why performers perform. You like, it's not the money you get or the social media followers, but if someone says, I was in a really tough spot and you helped me get out of it or at least survive it, you feel like your work means something.
It's true.
And that's
if there's 99 really people listening to the show and I can save the life of one person.
That's too many.
It's not enough. No, there's a water bottle.
Is it a good water bottle?
It's okay. It's you know, promotional stuff.
It'll keep things cold for 2 to 4 minutes.
But there's no drugs in it. Jesus.
Oh, boring. It doesn't even smell like drugs.
I'm checking in. He's checking in. I'm checking in. No more looking frail and thin. No more bugs beneath my skin. Hey, that's just my aspirin. Chuck it out. You're checking in. That's the musical tribute to the Betty Ford Clinic.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar. It just sounds like a 90s commercial, Fausto.
Polar bottle breakaway insulated. So it's an insulated bottle, so it keeps your hot beverages hot and your cold beverages cold.
It'll keep your douche water room temperature.
And well, when you're partying with G on the dance floor,
there you go.
You can hydrate.
I want to thank you for thinking of us. I'll definitely wear those t-shirts and hats for sure. And if anybody ever wants to send us anything, you can mail us at Feast of Fun at 5315 North Clark Street, number 242, Chicago, Illinois, 60640.
6064. We got to do it as a jingle.
UPS store. Yes. It's not our home, so don't expect to show up there and be like, hey, where's Mark and Fausto? I brought drinks.
Yeah. But you can people call us. People
have done that before. They're like, I brought a bottle of champagne, but you weren't here. It's a UPS box.
Yeah, no, we're not just going to give you the home address.
But
not
if you do want to hang out with us, like, and we have the time,
yeah,
we'll tell you what beach we're at.
Well, yeah.
And you can hang out with us and be like, oh my God, because we hang out at the beach with barely any clothes on.
And I mean, if you want to hang out with me, I'll be at the Betty Ford Hazel Den Center for every addiction known to man very shortly.
You're just addicted to sex.
Between the sex, between drugs, the booze.
Rock and roll.
The booze, the weed, the tobacco. You know, it's a lot.
In the middle of the night.
Those are people I invite over. The creeping
darkness.
The creeping darkness is a man I invited over and find very attractive, actually. But
it's your future husband. Your future ex-husband.
We hope. I don't know. I have a feeling that the second husband's probably going to be black as opposed to the first. Because, like, I think you have to save your real goals for yourself to, like, the end.
I think you're like Joan Collins. You're going to marry, like, 10 different people, and it'll be a white guy, a black guy, a white guy, a black guy.
That would honestly match out with, like, my family record of, like, how all my aunts... Because I have, like, aunts and uncles that have been married 4 or 5 times each. I have an aunt that every time she got nervous, she'd get married and move to a new state. So, like, that sort of line of behavior would track out with me.
But whatever you do, do not sign a prenup. Did you not watch Dynasty? Ugh.
I would actually weirdly not have any problem signing a prenup, because if I, like, legit say I'm going to marry you, in my mind, that means forever. So, like, if I don't have any of your money after you're dead, well, you're dead, and I'm sad for different reasons, because I actually liked you, so.
Yeah, because when I married Mark, I was like, okay, I'll give this relationship, like, 3 years at most, you know, I was like, and then I'll get his gold.
Oh yeah.
And then I married him and I fell in love and, you know, now we're stuck.
In love with me when we married.
Yeah, no, it was very arranged. He married you and then he fell in love and you'd already known him for 15 years. But
well, the head priestess of the village we were living in, you know, when I was a baby, said, you will be marrying this man named Mark Felian. And he shall be your husband, and you shall do what he says and obey him.
And you know, that evil witch doctor, she spat in your diaper. She was a creep. I don't trust her.
Well, you know, listen, just because they're a priestess doesn't mean they can be wrong.
The priestess with the leastest. I'm crying.
Hey, guys, remember, Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you. Consider becoming a member and access thousands. Over 3,000 legendary episodes with some of the greatest comedic minds of our generation at feastoffun.com/plus. And maybe give us a tip.
You can also join us at Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun for an ad-free experience. Or maybe you'd like to make a one-time donation. You can do that at feastoffun.com/donate.
Because we got Cash App, Venmo, PayPal. What other ways people send money?
I don't know, but check. My name on all those things is Send Matt Brown Money because I have no sense of humor. I'm just really direct.
Oh, so that's where you drop the MS.
There you go. Yeah, no, Miss Brown earns the money and Matt spends it.
What you talking about? Send me the money right now.
You're going to find out.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.